We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the RotoWire NFL DFS podcast sponsored by FanDuel. We are now at week 9. I am Scott Jenstead, joined tonight again by Vlad Sedler, going over the week 9 slate. If you could please rate or review the podcast, we would greatly appreciate that. Those ratings and reviews do mean a lot to us. If you enjoy listening to us, we would greatly appreciate that. If you want to follow us or ask us questions on Twitter, I am at Scott Jenstead, J-E-N-S-T-A-D. Vlad is at RotoGut, R-O-T-O-G-U-T. Vlad, we're halfway through the season now. How goes?
I'm good. Very good, Scott. As you know, we are recording on a Wednesday, and it's a big day here in the Sedler household, party of one. But I wanted to just thank you for accommodating your schedule today so that we can record this at a special time before the Dodgers-Astros game. So, looking forward to this one. Been looking forward to it through my entire teenage years and adult life. Since I was a 9-year-old. So I'm excited about this. It also happens to be my preseason pick, Dodgers over the Astros. So let's see if it comes to fruition.
Very nice. Yeah, I figured if we taped during the game, there was no way I was going to be able to not spoil it for you. So I kind of was forced into that one.
Yeah, for sure. But tell me, how did week 8 play out for you?
Week 8 was weird for me. I was actually out of town and wasn't able to watch games. So I had to kind of watch everything, do some studying on Monday and Tuesday. But the morning games were really poor. I thought I was going to have a losing day. And then my boy Juju Smith-Schuster saved the day, brought me back to, I think I was a little bit above even or right around even. That 97-yard touchdown was huge for me. One of my two main teams had Juju at not a super high percentage, and he was a monster for me, kind of saved my day. Him and Ezekiel Elliott were kind of my saviors.
And I was surprised that he was, generally sort of lower there, percentage-wise on FanDuel, especially, a lot of people are trying to get Le'Veon Bell in and probably had other, spots. But obviously it was an absolute smash spot for Juju, especially with him talking all week about, you know, being very active on Twitter and, you know, the saga with his bike and everything like that. So, you know, he kind of sold me on it. He said, hey, play me in fantasy this week. And I did. And he came through big. You know, for me, it was an all right week. I mean, I played sort of lighter in cash games than I usually do. I did win those, but I didn't really make a dent too much in GPPs. And that's despite having Russell Wilson in about 80% of my lineups. Unfortunately, I had paired him with Baldwin everywhere. And I never really gave much consideration to Richardson and Lockett, and, you know, just kind of feel like starting to have tunnel vision that I need to sort of break through. And then also I just ended up having a little bit too much exposure to Devonta Freeman, who obviously was not at full strength the second half of that game. Bad weather, just not a good game for him. But I did have some Juju and some Prater in that night game, so it salvaged me a bit. But all in all, nothing special in week 8.
Yeah, quarterback was a weird spot last week. You had Wilson and Deshaun Watson that went nuts. Obviously, Deshaun Watson in the perceived tough spot at Seattle. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins had one touchdown. Dak Prescott and Drew Brees threw for zero touchdowns. So it was a really weird boomer bust week at quarterback. If you didn't have Wilson or Watson, you really kind of struggled because the people with those teams just mashed.
Yeah, I mean, it's just becoming quite clear that Watson is an elite, almost matchup-proof quarterback. Wise beyond his years. You know, he's tied for the lead in passing touchdowns with Carson Wentz, and offense is just humming right now. What's great, though, is that this week, and we'll get to it, but, you know, FanDuel pricing has really tightened up this week. They priced him up at 9,600, which is really going to keep him from, you know, 1,500 lower, and you're looking at somebody that's potentially 60% owned, and so it's a really tough decision for people. But, you know, we'll get into that as we go through the games.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, kind of Baldwin and Freeman hurt you. The game that hurt me was Carolina-Tampa Bay. I really saw that as a high-scoring game. You know, Cam, the Panthers won that game, but Cam didn't look good against a really bad Buccaneers defense, and then Jameis Winston looked like he wasn't healthy. I don't know what was up with him. They scored 3 points against the Panthers. I thought that game was going to turn into a shootout. Really, did not keep him come close to that. That one hurt me, and I left unimpressed by both quarterbacks in that game.
Oh, definitely. a lot to be said about being unimpressed with Cam Newton this year.
Yeah. So as we move on to week 9, it's another big week of bye weeks. We have 6 teams on bye this week. The Bears and Browns, which don't hurt us much for fantasy, but then we get the Chargers, Vikings, Patriots, and Steelers also off. You know, 4 teams where, you know, you always have a couple guys that you can play on those squads. So that kind of leaves the cupboards a little more bare than usual. The Thursday night game not in the slate this week is Buffalo and the Jets, so we don't lose a lot there. But then Detroit and Green Bay play Monday night, so a few plays there. But moving on to the first game, kind of an interesting game. You know, a game that, you know, maybe 6 weeks ago looked a little different than it does now. We have the Broncos going to Philadelphia. Philly is a 7.5-point favorite, best record in the NFL at 7-1, off a complete mashing of my 49ers in a game that I did actually predict as a game that Philadelphia was going to absolutely destroy them. Starting on the Denver side, it looks like Brock Osweiler is going to play quarterback. Trevor Siemian has looked horrendous the last couple weeks. We get Osweiler in there. What do you do with the Denver side of the ball here?
Well, yeah, first of all, I just wanted to mention that, you know, as opposed to last week where we had obviously tremendous issues with the weather and the storm on the East Coast, you know, sort of looking ahead, it's looking a lot better. I don't see any games with, you know, any serious, you know, super wind, you know, winds higher than 20 miles per hour or any serious concern of rain. So that's really good. That should sort of make things easier, especially if we're building earlier in the week. With Denver, I mean, I don't know, just not much interest for me on this side. I mean, funny enough, I do think that Brock Osweiler might actually be somewhat of an upgrade over Siemian, who, I mean, his pocket presence is just awful. He's just someone over the last few weeks just kind of looks like he doesn't belong in the NFL. And so, you know, nobody I'm interested here for cash games. You know, if Sanders might play, I think that obviously helps things a little bit, especially if there's a garbage time scenario. But Demaryius Thomas, man, I mean, he hasn't sniffed the end zone in 13 games, and I don't know. He's running routes poorly, you know, continuing to drop the ball a lot. You know, pretty much somebody I'm not really trusting here.
Yeah, he hasn't scored in 13 weeks, but he's, you know, kind of still been oddly productive. You know, in 5 of the 7 games, he has over 5 catches and over 60 yards. But it's those 2 games where he's under 12 yards that really hurt you. But could be a good game script for him. You know, Philly's an over a touchdown favorite. Denver might have to throw the ball the whole second half. Demaryius does have 29 targets the last 3 weeks. I don't think I'll take anybody from the Denver offense. With I like Philly's defense and being a road game. If I had to take somebody, the Demaryius 6,700 is probably who I'd jump on.
Yeah, fair enough. And as far as the running backs are concerned, I mean, I really can't trust anyone there. I was a big C.J. Anderson supporter in the preseason, especially when I was grabbing him in the sixth and even seventh round in some cases in some high-stakes leagues. And he's still the lead guy, but all three of these backs are healthy and they look decent. You know, Jamal Charles looks all right. Devontae, Booker scored a touchdown last week. Philly's eighth-ranked Rundy in a potential negative game script on the road just doesn't seem like a spot I want to take a chance on. What about the Philly side of the ball? Who interests you here?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you're going against a Denver secondary that obviously is really good. So Carson Wentz is 8,000. He's balling out. There's no doubt about that. He's been fantastic so far this year. But I'm just not paying $8,000 for a quarterback against the Broncos. They haven't given up over 240 yards to a quarterback all year. Same with Alshon Jeffrey at 6,700. You know, he's priced pretty well. I just don't want to face that secondary. The guy that I'm interested in is Zach Ertz. Denver does shut down receivers, but tight ends seem to kind of get theirs against them. Kelsey was 7 for 133 and a touchdown last week. Hunter Henry had 73 yards the week before. Evan Ingram had 82 yards a week before that and a touchdown. So I think if I'm going anywhere with the Philly offense, this is Zach Ertz. I know he's priced up at 7,600, probably limits his ownership a little bit, but that'd be my favorite play on this offense.
Yeah, and that's my only concern is the price. But obviously, you know, every week that guy is coming through. He's the ideal cash game play. If you're spending up a tight end. But in general, I mean, this offense is one that I believe that I'm avoiding this week. And even the run game situation there as well. The Broncos rank still first in run DVOA defense. We don't know if Ajayi will be active. He's going to have to learn that, get accustomed and acclimated with that offense. And even if he does play, I mean, how do we really know how those carries shake out between him and Blunt? The only sad thing I'll mention is that my boy Wendell Smallwood is pretty much a drop in season-long leagues, especially the team likes Corey Clement. So you might see him, really not getting many snaps or possibly inactive in a lot of these games in the second half.
Yeah, not a good sign that in a game where they blew out the 49ers, Smallwood had two touches the whole game. That was one of my more disappointing guys all weekend.
Yep, absolutely. Besides that, I mean, to me, you know, this game for the most part with a lot of other beautiful games on the slate, including the next one we're going to talk about, not too much interest in this game.
What about the Philly defense? They're priced up a little bit, 5,200. They do have 8 sacks the last 2 games. They scored a touchdown last week against the 49ers. They face Brock Osweiler, and it's that formula we talk about a lot. Home team, pretty big favorite against a bad quarterback. Denver's allowed 16 sacks the last 4 weeks. They've turned it over a bunch of times the last 2 weeks. I think 8 turnovers the last 2 weeks. Granted, it's a new quarterback, but we're not going to a good quarterback. I think the Philly D is a pretty high-end play this week at 5,200.
Yeah, pretty much my favorite play of this game. And usually it sort of correlates in terms of teams that I offices that I don't like to take from for DFS and the defense, the corresponding defense. And so definitely interesting. We've got Jacksonville priced up there with, Philadelphia and Houston also in a very similar situation. Deciding between these three teams and even Tennessee might be difficult, but I think Philly is up there.
So moving on to the next game, we have the Rams going cross-country to face the Giants. Rams are actually a 3.5-point road favorite. How times have changed. Over-under this game is kind of a low 42. On the Rams side of the ball, a little bit interesting. They've obviously been a really good team this year. They've won 4 games on the road already. What say you about Jared Goff? We have no Javoris Jenkins this weekend. He's been suspended by the team.
Goff is interesting. I could probably name 6 or 7 quarterbacks that I like better.
Me too.
And the price is decent, but a spot even without Jenkins at New York on the cross country, not super interested. The Rams receivers are somewhat intriguing to me this week. And I think I probably might have a little bit of Sammy Watkins exposure. I just can't seem to quit this guy. Yeah, but in tournaments, with the Rams fresh off the bye, definitely nice that Jenkins is out. Watkins did somewhat hold his own against Patrick Peterson a couple weeks ago. He's probably going to see a combo of coverage from Ross Cockrell and the always appetizing matchup of Eli Apple. And I think for that reason, I'm interested in some Sammy.
Yeah, I think he can kind of be a GPP flyer. He's priced at 6,000 on FanDuel this week. The only thing is he's got 1 game over 60 yards all year. That was the big game against the 49ers. But he's hard to trust. But if you want to throw him as a GPP guy, I guess I can get it. What about Todd Gurley this week? Priced up at 9,100. Obviously, he's had a fantastic year so far. Are you on Gurley this week?
I like him. I haven't made a decision. I do like him a little bit more than Kareem Hunt, but it's really close. You know, I haven't ran my projections yet, but you know, Gurley's the priciest back this week, and justifiably so. I mean, he's led all running backs on this specific slate with FanDuel points, just over 21 points a game. And really, I think that decision comes down to those, you know, looking at Gurley versus Kareem Hunt if they are paying up in that spot. You know, Giants do rank 24th in DVOA against the run, but they are allowing just 4.2 yards per carry against, and they've only allowed two rushing scores. But then again, Gurley can kill you, you know, as a pass catcher as well, such a heavy usage monster. And I think he's definitely in the conversation this week.
Yeah, and the Giants' run D's been coming on a little bit lately, too. They shut down the Seahawks' run game last week, which is, you know, not overly impressive when you have Rawls and Lacy running. But they shut down the Broncos the week before that, too. I mean, Jamal Charles and C.J. Anderson had a combined 36 yards. So they were getting beat a little bit early. You know, Zeke got him and Melvin Gordon got him. But they seem to be a little bit better the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, is there anyone else that you would even consider here? Like, you know, Rams D, for example, I think could be an okay consideration. Obviously, I'd prefer them much more so if they were at home. Always a sneaky play, you know, almost guaranteed at least one interception here, even though Eli is at home. And then the tight ends, you know, to be honest, I mean, tight ends against the Giants are in play each and every week. And if I was punting at this position, I'd consider Tyler Higbee probably over the rookie Gerald Everett simply because he's seeing more snaps a game.
Yeah, the only guy that might be interesting to me a little bit is Cooper Kupp. He had 10 targets in their last game. The Giants have given up a little bit on the pass game recently. Doug Baldwin got them for 19 yards and a touchdown last week or 2 weeks ago before their bye week. And Demaryius Thomas had 133 on the week before that. I think one of Kupp or Watkins could have a good game. It's just kind of hard to pick which one there. Maybe split them in a couple of GPPs.
Yeah, and on the Giants side of the ball, I mean, like, honestly, outside of Evan Ingram, and he's even priced up at 6,300 this week. Really, you know, no one really else I'm interested in. Want no part of Darkwa or any other of these, you know, putrid wide receivers. So, you know, hey, you never know. Eli could pop off with Roger Lewis. If I'm playing 150 teams, I don't even know if I would play those two on a team.
What about Sterling Shepard? He partially practiced on Wednesday. He's only 5,900. Should be the Giants wide receiver one going forward, assuming he's ready to go. I don't know. Maybe a lot of targets, especially if they get behind in this game.
Yeah, and I honestly almost forgot that guy existed just because I've seen that lineup, you know, out that offense out there the last few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, 5,900 is definitely a solid price, but that's about it for me for this game.
Yeah, and Ingram's had a third of the targets for the Giants since Odell Beckham got hurt. 19 targets last 2 weeks, 11 catches, 142 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, Manning just loves going to him. I just, like you said, the price is a little bit high. It's 6,300. He's fully priced now, but he's got to be the best player on that Giants offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's just funny. A rookie running back, a rookie tight end right. Is the offense. Yeah.
So let's move on to a game that's a little more interesting. And this is a really intriguing game to me, especially based on what Tampa Bay did last week, laying the egg against Carolina. They go to New Orleans in the Superdome. Saints favored by a touchdown, over under, big number, big round 50. Starting on the, I think both sides of the ball, actually really interesting discussions on this one, but starting on the Tampa Bay side, Jameis Winston's listed as questionable. He had a limited practice today, so looking like a little bit better, he's going to play. He looked awful last week. What are you doing with the Tampa Bay offense here? You know, good game script. You like the thought they're going to throw the ball a lot in the second half. Indoors, high over under. Where do you come down with Tampa Bay here?
Honestly, you know, in this rough and tumble every week, you know, any given Sunday NFL, I can definitely see Tampa Bay stepping up in this game. My only concern is that, you know, Winston is not at 100%, and the fact that the New Orleans defense seems to be improving every week. And so don't necessarily see this one as a blowout. I do think the over-under might be a little low, but I think the line of 7 is just right. And again, it's like a really tough matchup for Mike Evans, for example. I mean, he's up against Marcus Lattimore, who isn't quite in that shutdown range, but he's slowly getting there. And he's likely to shadow Evans. And I think Evans will probably get a few catches, but it'll probably be one of those, like, you know, three of 10 targets or something like that. So, you know, to me, honestly, it's really tough for me to figure out who I love in this game. The one guy I sort of noticed that might be interesting, but again, just a GPP flyer because he's hard to trust, is Adam Humphries, simply because he's going to have the matchup against slot man Kenny Vaccaro, who literally, I mean, he's just been getting exposed week after week. Of course, that is until his matchup with Kendall Wright last week in Trubisky. But other than that, you know, Brate versus Howard, you know, D-Jax, there's just so much going on here. It might be a spot that I stay away from unless I'm stacking this game.
Yeah, I kind of think this has a sneaky chance to be a shootout of a game. I know everybody's talking about Lattimore, but, you know, he's a rookie. They've faced Mitchell Trubisky and Brett Hundley last 2 weeks, so I throw those out the window. Both Golden Tate and Marvin Jones got them in week 6, so they both had good games. I really like Mike Evans this week. I think he's going to be lower percentage than he should be. He's still high priced at 8,500, will keep some people away. The Saints defense and Lattimore will keep people away, but just a target monster. 36 targets last 4 weeks, 8 or more targets in each game, 60 or more yards in 6 of his 7 games. He's really a nice nice floor guy, nice cash guy, but also possesses that upside. You know, I think he's got a 7 catch, 100-yard, 2-touchdown game in him somewhere here. I think if they're playing from behind, this could be a really interesting spot for Evans. And he's a guy that, even if Ryan Fitzpatrick does come in, I think he's still playable. You know, if Jameis, his shoulder is not working well. But I like Mike Evans a lot this week. I think he's kind of sneaky.
Yeah, it's funny because I, Scott, you're like officially the cornerback matchup fader. I like it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, definitely. I mean, you know, everybody reads all week about something like this. And, you know, maybe I'm falling for it as well. And I've watched a lot of Lattimore this year, and I think he's absolutely exceptional. But, yeah, I mean, Evans is one of the biggest receivers in the league. If Winston can get it to him and the game is going to be competitive, then absolutely it's a spot. I mean, I'll probably not going to have him in my cash game lineups, but in a tournament, absolutely.
So what about, you mentioned Cam Brate real quick. He has 60-plus yards in all of his last 5 games. Again, could be a nice game script. If they get behind in this game, I'm going to throw the ball a ton. Could be feeding Brate a lot. He only had 5 targets last week, his least amount of targets since week 1, but still had 64 yards. He's just so rock solid every week. It's surprising every time you look up in the box score, he's always having a good game.
He has been. You know, it's just a price thing for me this week, but I could definitely see it working. But, you know, over the last, you know, 2 games, he's combined for 17 fantasy points. And if he's not getting in the end zone, you know, in a FanDuel type setting where he's catching 4 balls for 50, 60 yards, it's just not good enough to help you win a GPP. I think for that reason alone, he's more of a cash game play. But yeah, 6,100, definitely in the conversation. And if you are game stacking this one, then Brate is probably the way to go.
So what about the New Orleans side of the ball? You know, they're projected to score a lot of points. Their implied total is really nice in this game. It's about 28 or 29. What do we do with their offense? You know, they've been running the ball a ton, but it's home Drew Brees again. But last week, Brees had, you know, no touchdowns, but he played really well. It was a weird week. He had no touchdowns, but 82% completion rate, 290 yards. He played really well, but this is fantasy football. We need the touchdowns. If you don't get those, he's a really disappointing guy. I had him in one of my main teams, and, you know, it's nice and all, they played well, but when you have no touchdowns, that hurts, especially at his price.
Yeah, I mean, for the Saints, I think here it's all the makings of an absolutely phenomenal spot. Like you mentioned, you've got Brees at home, up against the 31st ranked pass defense, 50-point projected total. You know, Mike Thomas is healthier, looked all right last week. And, yeah, I mean, the only really concern here is that potential game flow and just the fact that the Saints have been more run heavy than they have been in recent years because of Ingram and Kamara. So, you know, and just a side note, and obviously it's a whole different Tampa Bay defense this year, but Brees had a 1-3 touchdown to interception ratio last year against the Bucs and didn't top 300 pass yards in either game.
Yeah, and the problem with the Saints is they're running the ball so much. You know, Mark Ingram and Kamara are getting a lot of touches. So Brees is 8,300. He's not cheap, but he's one of those guys that he can always throw up 3-4 touchdowns. The Tampa Bay pass defense finally played well last week, but I went back and watched that game on Monday, and I thought Cam Newton missed a bunch of chunk plays, a lot of balls that, you know, a Drew Brees would have completed. Every quarterback before last week had 268 or more yards against the Bucs with 11 touchdowns in 6 games. I think I'm going to play Drew Brees this week. I think he's going to be lower percentage than normal at home. I think people are finally, you know, maybe worried that he's not the same guy. I think he's an interesting spot this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him at the moment for ref projections for about 320 yards and 2 scores. And honestly, I'm not afraid to even use the running backs here in, you know, with Michael Thomas and Drew Brees, just really sort of game stacking this one. Like we've seen, you know, some GPP winning teams do last year, especially a guy like Ingram and or Kamara could take one to the house on a pass play. So, you know, you've got Ted Ginn here as well. He's in play simply because he's been a great beneficiary of Breeze's passing. He's been among the league leaders in receiving yards over the last couple weeks. Just want to mention the one guy that really intrigues me, and I really like him as a punt play, and want to get your take, is on Brandon Coleman, who's pretty much taken over whatever role Kobe Fainter had there. He's really he's a big dude, really big body target that Breeze trusts in the red zone. I think I'm going to have myself some Brandon Coleman this week.
Yeah, I just wish he was getting more targets. You know, he's got he has one target in three of his last five games, and he has eight targets total in the last three games. I just wish he was getting targeted a little more, but he's the kind of guy that you can make a big play, they can hit him in the red zone. So as a punt guy, I think he works in a game that can have a huge total. I probably won't have him very much, but anybody in the Saints offense this week, I think, is pretty live.
Yeah, I mean, he's got three touchdowns on the season. His one catch last year went for 54 yards.
Yep.
I think people listen long enough to sort of figure out if we're not specifying that, Brandon Coleman is not a cash game play.
Right.
But for the price, definitely a GPP punt.
You mentioned Kamara, and I've talked about Kamara a bunch the last few weeks. I really like him, but he's finally priced up. I love him. He's up to 6,600 finally, and it's hard when he gets to that price range. There's other guys in that range, and he just doesn't get a lot of touches for that range. He had, 11 touches last week, 14 the week before. They're just feeding Mark Ingram so much. Mark Ingram has 294 yards and four touchdowns the last 3 weeks. You wonder if the couple of fumbles he had late last week will hurt him a little bit. But so I just don't know if Kamara's going to touch the ball enough at 6,600. But the guy that I love on this offense, you touched on already, is Michael Thomas. Hasn't fully broken out yet, but still really active. He has over 75 yards in five of his seven games, only two touchdowns. He just feel like he's brewing for a big game.
Yeah, simply put, people might go build some Wilson teams. They might build some Deshaun Watson teams if they want to pay up. But if you want a really nice base for your cash game lineups, just put in Drew Brees and Michael Thomas in this one, and build around that, and I think you'll be set.
Are you considering Ted Ginn? You mentioned him real quick. Is that someone you might play this week at all?
No, I've been off the Ginn train for a while. I've missed all those games. So be it. In a lineup where I'm stacking this game, absolutely, I'll probably have some exposure. Outside of that, I'm not playing him in cash or any of my main GPPs this week.
All right. So that should be a fun game. Moving on to the next one, not as fun, over under 39.5. We have the Cincinnati Bengals headed to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. Jaguars are a 4.5-point favorite. Anybody on the Cincinnati side of the ball you're interested in? Obviously, a very low implied total when they're an underdog and that over-under is so low. Anybody you want to play on this side?
No. I mean, maybe give some consideration to Joe Mixon. Even then, I'm concerned a little bit about game flow. Obviously, it was encouraging to see him gain over 90 yards receiving last week. But that was a pristine matchup with the Colts. Jeremy Hill, I think, had like maybe only 12 snaps, which is also good to see. But honestly, the only way for the Bengals to hang in this one is game planning to pound it with their running backs. And so, I think Mixon is the only guy I'm considering. And, AJ Green is about as contrarian as you can get this week for a top end guy. And yep. I want to see fading the whisper fading or whatever, what I'm trying to say. Would you have the gall to play AJ Green in the spot against Bouye and Ramsey?
At 8,200, I'm just not doing it. He's super low percentage, but there's just other receivers I like more. Only one wide receiver on the season over 70 yards against the Jaguars. That was Antonio Brown, and that was on 10 catches. And that was with Ben Roethlisberger. Andy Dalton is not playing especially well. The offensive line is killing him and killing AJ Green. It's hard for him to get downfield when the offensive line just can't hold enough time. And Jacksonville, they're called Saxonville for a reason. They're going to get after Dalton. I don't think he's going to have a ton of time to throw at AJ Green. Only allowing 167.7 passing yards per game, number one in the NFL. I like to go contrarian, especially on expensive guys. Just not in this spot for me.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Jacksonville? Who are you interested in here besides the obvious Jacksonville defense?
Yeah, and then you got Leonard Fournette. I mean, he's 8,600. He's finally looks like he's going to be healthy again. He missed one game and they had a bye week, so a full 3 weeks off between games when you go Sunday to Sunday. So that's pretty impressive. He's still scored in every game, but the problem is the Bengals' run D's been good. Gore did play pretty well against them last week. Le'Veon had 134 the week before, but that was on 35 carries. 8,600. I just think I like Todd Gurley more, and then as we'll see later, I like Kareem Hunt a lot more. So I just don't think I'm gonna be able to fit Fournette in at 8,600 this week.
Yeah, I mean, and the Bengals have been fairly steady against the run. They rank 10th in DVOA run defense. They've allowed just 3 rushing scores. They've held opposing running backs to a 3.8 yards per carry against. I don't think that's enough to completely discount Fournette in this matchup, especially with a potential positive game script. But, you can go with the Jags defense and Fournette for that correlation. But I think Fournette's really going to have to break off a long one. And I don't know if this is necessarily the best spot for that to happen.
Yeah, I love Fournette as a player. I love watching him play. And he can always beat any matchup. But I just think I like others more at that price range this week.
Yep, that's about it for me in this game. I mean, Marquise Lee is a little dinged up in practice this week. Alan Hearns, just against this Bengal secondary, not super enthused.
Do you like the Jacksonville defense at 5,300? You mentioned them real quick. They had 10 sacks in their last game.
Yes, I do. They're my favorite defense of the week.
There you go. Yeah, Cincinnati offensive line has struggled. They allowed 7 sacks the last 2 weeks, had multiple turnovers in each of those games too. So it's interesting. I think I like the Jacksonville defense too, but what about the next game? Another interesting game, Atlanta at Carolina. We've got another NFC South matchup. Carolina is -2.5 at home with an over-under 43.5. The Atlanta offense, I'm having trouble figuring these guys out. What do you say on this one?
Yeah, you're probably not the only one. It's really kind of funny to see such a low total, 43.5 in this game, Vegas total. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Carolina's at home and they have a stout defense, and Atlanta's just really struggling on offense. And like we said last week, can't blame it all on Sarkisian. But Julio, for example, I mean, he's going to spend a lot of time in coverage by James Bradbury, which I don't think is going to be too much trouble for him. It's really just about getting him the damn ball. And if we remember, and worked out for me last year in week 4.
Oh, how about that game?
300 plus yards against this defense. Very similar secondary. And at that time, Bradbury was a rookie, of course. But honestly, you're never going to see Julio priced under 8,000. Almost feels like a gift to me. And I think even despite the struggles of Atlanta, the fact that Carolina has a good secondary, I think to me, Julio Jones is a very easy cash game play at 7,900.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him under 8,000. I didn't think they would do that. Panthers haven't allowed a 100-yard wide receiver yet, so I think that goes into play there. But like you said, he's kind of smoked Carolina recently. He had that 12 for 300 game last year. Then he had a 9 for 178 game in 2016. It's hard. Matt Ryan just struggling so much. He's under 260 yards each of the last 4 weeks, 5 touchdowns total in that stretch. Panthers defense is playing really well. I'm a little bit worried about how much Atlanta actually does on offense in this game.
Yeah, I feel you, but I think there are going to be some points scored. I think they put up at least 22 points. And what can I say? Julio, 7,900. I'm not going to pass on that opportunity.
What about Mohamed Sanu at 5,800? Now he's back healthy. He's pretty clearly the number two guy. And, an opposite of Julio is the number two guy is a really good spot to be. And I said that last week with Juju Smith. If you're the number two opposite a stud receiver, just you're always going to get single coverage. He has 17 targets last 2 weeks, good for 12 catches. 139 yards and a touchdown. Kind of a sneaky guy at 5,800 if this game turns into a little bit of up and down game.
Yeah, I mean, he's going up against Captain Crunch, Captain Munerlin. it's a great matchup in the slot. Honestly, the matchup to be able to exploit, I guess you could say, because, Worley and Bradbury are pretty solid. So I like it, especially I think, Bradbury is going to do his best to try to stick to Jones and shadow him. Absolutely not opposed to Mohamed Sanu at all. Just not one of my top plays this week.
So we talk about how the Atlanta offense is kind of a mystery. The Carolina offense, fully fits in that too. Cam Newton is a tough guy to figure out. He had those two phenomenal games where he just lit up, but the rest of his games, he's averaging 185 yards and under one passing touchdown in that stretch. So he's been so robust. He obviously lost Kelvin Benjamin this week. They traded Kelvin Benjamin to the Buffalo Bills, if anybody did not see that. He just had such a bad game last week. 154 yards against that awful Tampa Bay defense. Brutal. He had 32 throws, too, so it wasn't a game script thing where, he threw the ball 18 times or something. I don't know. What do we do with Cam this week?
You just don't play him. If you're playing multi-entry, maybe have like a, you know, 4 or 5% exposure if you really want. But there just really isn't a lot of upside. You know, we were already tentative last week about playing him in an absolute amazing spot against Tampa Bay, and he disappointed. And so, you know, unless you're getting insanely contrarian, what's the true reason in, you know, with so many other good quarterbacks and better matchups who are more accurate, you know, why would we go with Cam in the spot? So to me, I'm not interested. You know, Funchess, I guess, you know, we can, of course, sometimes go with receivers that we think are going to get the majority of the work, even if we're not rostering their quarterbacks. I think this is one of those spots. I'm going to be a anti-cornerback whisperer. I don't mind him lined up against Desmond Trufant, who was burned quite often last week against Robbie Anderson. And to me, Trufant's just been okay. I think he's a little over the hill. I don't think he's the same shutdown corner he's been in years past.
Yeah, Funchess is a tough one for me because it's hard to ignore the volume. 31 targets last 4 weeks. I just don't think he's good at playing football. He's inefficient. He's unexciting. All those targets, he still hasn't top 70 yards all year. I get he's going to get a lot of red zone looks, and that's kind of where he's going to value is going to be, but he's so TD dependent. I just don't see a way he goes off in yardage just the fact the way he plays. He's not fast. He's kind of a big possession guy. He needs to score to be worth it. I think he's going to be high percentage this week. I think he's going to see the number one corner from now on, which I think is going to be a big difference for him. He's a fade for me. I'm probably the only one fading Devin Funchess this week, but I'm out on that island.
No, I don't think you'll be the only one, and it's a very sound argument. And just funny how somebody can potentially be really bad at something yet still make millions of dollars at it. I guess it happens all over our country, but that's a different story.
And the amount of targets he's going to get, I mean, that's so important. Volume is such a key. He's only went 6,100, so I totally get it. I just have a hard time playing someone that I just think has so little upside.
Yeah, and you just lose a big piece like that of Kelvin Benjamin. Funchess is going to get a lot more attention. And now you've got rookie Curtis Samuel, who's probably going to play in the slot. And Russell Shepard is probably going to be over on the other side of Funchess. And so, you know, again, guys I'm not really interested in, especially matching up against Robert Alford and then Brian Poole in the slot. You know. For me, I don't know. Yeah, the quarterbacks even, neither of the quarterbacks am I really that interested in. I'll probably have Ryan on some Julio teams. You know, for me, I like Wilson. I like Breeze. I like some of these other guys. I think for the most part, outside of Julio, not too interested in this game.
If you had to take someone between Curtis Samuel and Russell Shepard, who would it be?
Would probably be Shepard.
Yeah, I think
simply
I agree
because
there.
Because he's not a rookie.
Yeah, a lot of people really like Curtis Samuel this week. They think he's just going to, you know, kind of slot in and be the guy right away. But he hasn't topped 2 catches or 20 yards in a game yet. I don't think he's going to just walk in and be a beast. Shepard hasn't had a lot of catches either, but he, you know, he does have 10 targets last 3 weeks. I think Cam probably trusts him a little bit more. Only 4,800. I could see that as an okay punt play in this game.
Yeah, I mean, one of the wisest things people could be doing this season is just like a very straight up strategy is just fading not rostering the rookie wide receivers because they've essentially all are injured or are busts. So I wouldn't expect all of a sudden a monster game out of Curtis Samuel.
Speaking of rookies, what do you do with Christian McCaffrey here? He's down to 6,100, super reliant on touchdowns. He's just not getting a lot of yards. PPR, he's kind of a monster. He's getting a lot of targets. You wonder without Benjamin, maybe he gets even more targets. Maybe he lines up on the wide out a little bit more. It's just hard to play him without getting those yards. You just have to get the touchdown. I think in a full PPR set, he's interesting, but in a half-point PPR, I have trouble getting him in there, even at the lower price.
It wouldn't be a RotoWire podcast co-hosted by Scott Jensen without a mention of former Stanford player Christian McCaffrey, now would it be?
But it was not an especially positive vein.
Yes, no. He's always in consideration for me. Honestly, I just prefer him a little bit more in full PPR sites, especially in very nice, pristine matchups. He's just a little priced up for me. He's just sort of one of those guys that I'm skipping over when I'm building lineups.
All right. Before we head on to another game of the high total, a quick read from our sponsor, FanDuel.com. Fantasy football fans, football is in full swing, which means FanDuel is also. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests starting every week. No busted seasons. You get a new team every week. Something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from starting at just $1, moving all the way up to as high as you want to play. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing on FanDuel. Take advantage of our special offer for new users. Sign up today at FanDuel.com/RW. especially if you're in a season-long league where you're 2-6 or 3-5 so far this year. It's the perfect time to jump in on FanDuel, get to play play a new team every week, and keep the football season exciting. We still have a lot of weeks left, so make sure to jump in now. You'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription plus a free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, which offers you more than $1 million in cash prizes, all with your first deposit on FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/RW, void where prohibited. So the big news this week was Deshaun Watson. We hit on him a little bit earlier. Indianapolis is headed to Houston. Houston's favored by 12.5 in this game. I've actually seen that line go up in a few places, up to 13 or 14. Over-under is 49, so big implied total for the Texans. Let's start on the less exciting side first. Start with Indianapolis. Obviously, their offense is a complete mess right now. Anybody on this side you like? I'm thinking Jack Doyle's probably your guy.
No, I did play Jack Doyle last week.
He's been a beast lately.
Some of the other PPR sites, but did not play him on FanDuel. You know, actually, this game's total has jumped. It opened at 48 when we put this together. It was a 49. It's up to 50 now, which is pretty interesting. You know, I just think it's very strong potential for a blowout here. Hilton and Doyle will be the only two guys that I would even consider, and more likely to use them in a scenario where I'm game stacking this one, where I am playing Hopkins with Watson and maybe Fuller, and in that case probably having someone on the way back like a Hilton or Doyle makes sense. And you know, I think we're probably going to see a lot of box score chasers go after Doyle after last week's performance. I don't think it's an awful play against a Texas team that's allow the 6 most FanDuel points to opposing tight ends. But if I had a choice, I'd probably prefer Hilton.
Yeah, Doyle's interesting. You know, just an insane number of targets. As we were talking about, 32 in the last 3 weeks, 215 yards in those weeks. I just think he's Brissett's, you know, security blanket. I think he goes back. Their line is so bad. He's so used to getting sacks, he just kind of dumps it off. On a PPR side, he's a really nice play. I'm kind of the same with you on FanDuel with half-point PPR. Probably not where I'm going, but I can understand that as a play. I don't see his upside, but he's been really good lately.
Yeah, and I mean, you just have to imagine that at some point, if this game does get out of hand, like I would expect it to, you would probably see Jacoby Brissett chucking it to T.Y. Hilton. Hilton's got to connect on something. And, you know, this trio of corners for Houston with Joseph, Johnson, and Jackson just really, really don't scare me at all.
Say that 3 times fast.
On the next pod.
What about Marlon Mack? 5,700, played 40% of the snaps last week, or 47% of the snaps last week, a career season high 39 snaps. He had a bunch of carries, only 27 yards though. He wasn't especially effective in his carries. Does have 11 targets last 2 weeks. Kind of feels to me like kind of a GPP big play type of guy. You know, maybe they dump the ball off the whole second half. They're trailing a bunch. 5,700, one of the more intriguing lower running back plays.
Yeah, and you know well, Scott, I love Marlon Mack. Yep. I played him in one of my main lineups a couple of weeks ago in a high-dollar entry lineup, and even I probably would not recommend him in this spot, specifically for FanDuel. I love Marlon Mack. If I'm not playing him, you probably shouldn't either.
That's good. That's a good way to go. If you're not playing Marlon Mack and I'm not playing Christian McCaffrey, it's a good week to be off those guys.
Exactly.
So what about Houston? Now, obviously, Deshaun Watson, insane last week against Seattle. 67 yards rushing, over 400 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Have you seen his price yet this week? $9,600.
Woo! Yep. And I think that's phenomenal for FanDuel, where pricing has been a little – it's been easy to put lineups together in. And now if you are playing Watson, it really sort of changes the dynamics of everything with lineup construction. This could be, you know, it could be one of two things, or could he just end up being in the middle? I mean, hey, that's football in a nutshell, right? But it could be a letdown spot, but it's much more likely that it's going to be another 40-point outing for the Texans. I mean, these guys whipped the Seahawks stout pass D last week in a shootout, and now they literally get the best possible matchup for a pass offense. You know, again, only concern here, they get off to an insurmountable lead, and they just rely on Lamar Miller to handle the load in the second half. And so, you know, not only is Watson the prices is at his position, but so is DeAndre Hopkins by a lot. And so, you know, you could still build a half-decent cash lineup with these two. But honestly, I just think there are more viable options here, you know, simply because of the potential for the blowout.
Yeah, I'm the same way. My one concern at 9,600 is just the game script. He's super expensive. If they get up in this game, they're going to run the ball a lot the second half. Four of the last five quarterbacks against Indy have thrown for over 295 yards. The matchup is fantastic. So are you playing him? What are you going to do with him? I'm back and forth on Watson. He's so tempting, but I don't know. Hard price for the price for me at the with the game script.
Yeah, it's just really about roster construction. I mean, I'm going to play Wilson and Breeze. You know, I'll build those teams before I go here. You know, but in a game stack, absolutely, because I don't think that, you know, as I mentioned, Houston's secondary is not great. They're missing a few obviously important pieces, including J.J. Watt, you know, on their on defense on the front seven as well. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this game has a potential for, you know, Indianapolis to make somewhat of a comeback, make it somewhat interesting. But again, we're talking about the highest spread of the week, 12.5. But the game, you know, the points, over under keeps rising. So, you know, we want to have some exposure to this game.
So what about Lamar Miller? He's 7,500, obviously a nice game script for a running back. He's just so unexciting. It's weird. He had two games with two touchdowns. He's had five games with zero touchdowns. He hasn't topped 75 rushing yards all year, but he could get a ton of volume in this game. You know, if they get too far ahead, that wouldn't be good for him. They'd probably go to other backup running backs, Donta Foreman and other guys. But, you know, if they have a lead, but it's a 10 to 12, 10, 14 point lead, he might get the ball a lot.
Yeah, he will. And I, you know, honestly, he might just be my straight up favorite play. I wish he wasn't so expensive as 7,500. And I have seen people become millionaires using Lamar Miller twice this year. He was on two of the perfect lineups. And so it's funny, those happened when he was coming in at like 4 or 5%. Now when he's going to be like 15%, more people on him with game script here, you know, maybe he just doesn't come through, or he gets you 80-100 yards and does his work over the second half but doesn't score. You know, it's interesting. A lot of ways to go with this offense.
What about frickin' Will Fuller? 7,800 now. He's fully priced up. This dude has 7 touchdowns in 4 games and only 13 catches. That is literally impossible.
You mean Will frickin' Fuller? Yeah. That's wild. I've missed all of those.
Yeah,
was so impressed to see people. Yeah, you know, and I saw him. He was, you know, 8% owned. Actually, I thought maybe he'd be like 2 or 3%, especially going up against that Seattle defense. But yeah, he was owned last week by, you know, nearly one in every 10 people that played last week. Only way I'm running with him here is in a game stack. The dude will probably score another touchdown. It'll probably be like a touchdown on 2 touchdowns and like on 2 catches and 30 yards. But for me, it's with game stacks. I'm not playing him in cash. And I'm not especially interested this week.
What about the Houston defense? You touched them real quickly talking about no J.J. Watt. They've allowed 40 plus points in 2 of the last 3. So they haven't done really well in scoring offense. But anytime you go against this Indy defense, they give up so many sacks. They have 4 sacks last week to Cincy, 10 the week before to Jacksonville. At 5,200, I think I like other defenses more myself.
Yeah, and I don't want to fully call them my fade, but to me, you know, when I'm looking at Brock Osweiler or like Andy Dalton behind a crappy line, these two defenses similarly priced, or even Tennessee against Ryan Mallett, I have those options over, you know, targeting a defense that's facing Jacoby Brissett, who I think is a much better quarterback. For that reason alone, I'm just not too into the Houston defense this week.
All right. So moving on to another game with a little bit of a lower total, we have the Baltimore Ravens heading to Nashville to face the Titans. Baltimore's favored by 5.5, over under of 43. On the Baltimore side, Alex Collins played really well last week. He's only 5,900. Are you interested in him, or are you just a little bit too worried about splitting snaps with Buck Allen?
No, actually, Alex Collins was the first guy I popped into my lineup when I first set a placeholder lineup on a Monday. Probably not going to use him. I'm going to take him out of there. It's just he was way too cheap, and I don't love him any time that a running back is playing Tennessee on the road, especially when they're underdogs. But I like how good he's looked. He's led all running backs with a whopping 6 yards per carry. And I think it's on just like 80 rushes or something, but he's basically all but rendered Buck Allen unplayable in DFS. And Alex Collins looks really sharp. Amazing. Can you imagine what Pete Carroll could have used a guy like that, huh?
I was going to say, he looked really nice for the Seahawks right now. Definitely better than Eddie Lacy or Thomas Rawls or McKissick or Procise, any of the guys they got going there. You know, Tennessee's been interesting, though. No running back has run for 80 yards against them. Nobody I really like on the side of the ball. Jeremy Maclin a little bit at 6,300. Somebody has to catch the ball there, especially if Ben Watson doesn't play. But I'm just kind of I'm not really feeling the Ravens offense too much, aside from maybe a little bit of Alex Collins.
No, I see this as a low-scoring game. And on Tennessee's side of the ball, I mean, I guess it's primarily the running backs here. I know that DeMarco Murray didn't practice on Monday. I haven't seen as of Wednesday if he had or not. But, you know, he's someone I would consider against this Ravens run defense. It's allowing actually the third most rushing yards per game, 133 rushing yards per game. A lot of that came during a period when Brandon Williams, their best run stopper, was not playing. He's back, should be a second or third game back, I believe. So that should certainly help his prospects. And of course, if for whatever reason DeMarco Murray can't go, you're going to see all the Derrick Henry truthers come out of the woodwork and want to play him in this one.
Marcus Mariota, 4 touchdown passes in 6 games.
Really? Okay.
That is ugly.
I know he's coming off the injury. I feel a little bit of regression, positive regression coming. Maybe not this game. I'd have to look at the schedule, but I love Mariota, man. I think he'll be totally fine.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced on that. The only guy I like in this game is Delanie Walker. He's dealing with an ankle injury, didn't practice on Wednesday, so I think I need some news on him. If he looks good to go Thursday and Friday, I just wonder, the Ravens are getting 6 touchdowns to tight end. Maybe Mariota starts to lean on him a little bit more, get the ball to his most talented guy. At 5,600, I like Delanie if he looks good to go, but that's obviously a check the news later in the week. I think that's about it on this game. Why don't we move on to the 1 o'clock games? First one, the 0-8 49ers, my squad, at home against the Cardinals this week. Got a chance to win this week, though. Arizona's only fared by 1.5. Niners are off 2 blowouts against the Cowboys and the Eagles. Over-under in this game is an ugly 39.5. Arizona side of the ball, obviously Carson Palmer's done for the year. Drew Stanton is now their quarterback. Not interested in playing him, but what do you do with Adrian Peterson at 6,800?
Well, first of all, this game opened as a pick'em, which I was actually surprised. I figured that Arizona would at least be a field goal favorite on the road, even though they're on the road here against an 0-8 Niners squad. The lines moved up, so as you mentioned, they are now 2-point favorites. I do think that, nevertheless, anything can happen. I think it absolutely is a possibility that San Francisco wins their first game of the year. It's a possibility. I still think that Arizona does pull this off. For me, Adrian Peterson is pretty much my favorite guy from this entire game. I think he's super cash game viable, specifically because Palmer is out, and I expect a heavier reliance on the run game. And, I think he's absolutely in play. And by the way, Andre Ellington on full PPR sites.
Yeah, Peterson kind of falls in that Funchess field for me. You know, such a great matchup. The 49ers can't stop anybody, but I'm just not impressed with Peterson anytime I watch him. He had that one big game, but other than that, he's looked awful all year long. He was 11 rushes for 21 yards against the Rams. He looked bad again in the last game they played. They had a bye last week, so it was 2 weeks ago. But their offensive line is really bad. But then again, the 49ers defense is really banged up. Reuben Foster's probably not going to play again. He's questionable. They're hoping he gets out there, but I tend to doubt it. I think they'll be pretty safe with him. LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement had 102 yards against the Niners last week. Zeke absolutely destroyed them the week before. So I'm kind of on the fence this week on Peterson. I don't think he's really a great play, but the 49ers defense kind of pushes him into that great play field. So I'm back and forth on him. I think I'm going to have a little bit, but probably a little bit less than most people do.
That's fair. What about the passing offense? I mean, obviously it really sucks. No more Carson Palmer out for the year. And obviously really hurts the prospects of the passing attack with Drew Stanton under center. And I do think it relegates guys like Larry Fitzgerald, who would essentially be a, automatic cash game play in the spot, more down to a GPP play. I think if anyone that I'm looking at in this game, and because he is a little bit lower priced and one of your favorite receivers, if I'm not mistaken, John Brown. What do you think about Brown and Fitz?
I love Brown. I love watching Brown play. He's only 5,700. I just wonder if he gets enough catches and if he's going to be able to get that deep ball. You know, Carson Palmer throws a lot of deep balls, and that's what John Brown specializes in. I think Fitz is interesting, though. They're off a bye, so, that helps a little. That helps a lot to get Stanton kind of back in the flow, taking snaps every practice for 2 weeks. I think Fitz is interesting. At 7,000, I think he might get overlooked based on the fact that Palmer's not playing. I wonder if Stanton might just lean on him a lot as the veteran he's used to.
Yeah, and it's just it's kind of a tough game to handicap too, because we really don't know. We've seen Drew Stanton play before, but you really don't get a better matchup than San Francisco, with that secondary. So It'll be interesting. And I think for that reason, even though they are coming off the bye, I do really think that Adrian Peterson does get a lot of work. I think he does get into the end zone at least once. And I do think that we could play him this week in cash.
Yeah, I think the matchup is gonna trump my feelings on Peterson. I think he gets in the end zone too. What about the Arizona defense? The Niners have allowed 12 sacks the last 3 weeks, turned the ball over 5 times the last 2 weeks. C.J. Beathard does not look good. He does not look comfortable. He's going to play this week. They traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, which I loved, but he's not going to play this week, not ready with the offense yet. Arizona defense hasn't done much. They've given up 400 yards in all their last 3 games, but again, going against a 49ers team kind of puts them in the mix as a play just based on matchup.
Yeah, and I think I liked Arizona defense earlier in the week when I first browsed through the schedule. I don't know how big I am on it anymore, but again, you're talking about a game with a over under 40. So I think potentially you could take a stab at Marquise Goodwin in GPPs. Could be the spot where C.J. Beathard's like, hey, this is kind of my last game here before I'm relegated to being a backup forever. So let me just kind of let it all out there. And the one note on that is that the guy that everybody has been pounding anytime Justin Bethel, slot corner for Arizona, is in the game, people automatically play whoever that slot receiver is. Justin Bethel demoted, and Tremon Williams is the guy manning the slot now. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind there. No Garcon for me, since he's dealing with the neck stinger. He's going to get that Patrick Peterson treatment. And then the only other guy, the guy that's burned me the last 2 weeks, George Kittle, it's very possible he leads his team in targets and receptions. I did notice that Grant Celek was in on a lot of the snaps last week, but he was essentially the blocking tight end. And I saw some formations where it was Celek and Kittle in the game together. But, hey, you know this team better than me. Why don't you tell me where the plays are?
After 2 weeks, I'm kind of off the Iowa to Iowa connection, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this is their last shot too.
Yeah, what about Carlos Hyde? Price all the way down to 6,500. Should get volume. He only had 12 carries last week, 14 the week before that, but horrible game script. They were getting killed by the Cowboys and Eagles. Almost by the end of the first quarter in both of those games. Took a little bit longer with Philadelphia last week. Once they got the defensive touchdown opened up, it kind of got ugly. He has 17 targets the last 2 weeks, so they're really featuring him in the passing game. I wonder if he might be a bit of a sneaky volume play in a closer game than they've had the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely should be. The price is right. A guy like Carlos Hyde, it just doesn't feel right to me. I wish he was on a better team, but you're looking at a price like 6,500 for a guy who I'm certain is a top, five or six, maybe top eight running back in this game in terms of, skill level, elusiveness, just a beast. And so, a game where you actually have them at home with a close point spread is a good spot to play Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, and then, you play him, and then like last week, Matt Breida scores the touchdown. So a little bit frustrating in that offense at the moment.
Yeah, mouth Breida.
John Lackey is jealous.
That's right.
Moving on to the next game, we have an interesting game. The Redskins go into the Seahawks. Seattle's favored by 7.5, over under a 45 in this game. Seattle obviously is off the exciting win over the Texans where their defense got thrashed, but Russell Wilson went crazy. Washington off the game where they lost to Dallas. Kirk Cousins, the problem with me on Cousins right now is his weapons are kind of meh right now. Terrell Pryor is not playing. Watson lit up the Seattle defense last week, but it was kind of a weird game. Kind of got to me in a back and forth track meet. They only get up 5 touchdowns passing in the other 6 games combined. I don't think I want any part of Cousins this week headed into Seattle.
Yeah, I'm not super interested here. You're not going to see a replica of what we saw last week with Deshaun Watson. And as far as the offensive pieces here, there's so many guys. It's really sort of difficult to figure out. So similar situation to the New England Patriots, but without the talent level. My favorite guys in this matchup specifically are probably the ones in the that are going to be working up in the middle of the field, because I think really that's the only spot where the Seahawks can be beat. The problem is there are a lot of guys that can fit that mold. Even in this game, you've got Chris Thompson, who obviously is better used in full PPR sites. You've got their slot corner, Jamison Crowder, who finally stepped up and had his best game of the season. He's priced at only 5,600. And then Vernon Davis, if Jordan Reed misses this game. So What do you think? Anybody there stick out to you among those guys?
Yeah, you know, I think Chris Thompson does mostly for a game script issue, and Cousins, you know, just kind of needs weapons right now. Like we're saying, the receivers are kind of a mess. He's only 6,700. You know, I think he's still big play and touchdown reliant, and we kind of talked about that last week. With Rob Kelly back, Thompson's not going to get a lot of carries, but, you know, Thompson had 9 targets last week in a game. They're trailing. I think they're going to be trailing in this game. 19 targets over the last 3 weeks. I think he's a GPP guy, but I think it could be a really big, good setup for him to catch a bunch of passes and get the ball in his hand, especially in the second half.
Yep, sounds good to me. The one other note on this offense is obviously for Jamison Crowder, because now his matchup is no longer with Jeremy Lane, who's now a member of the Houston Texans. Instead, you've got Justin Coleman, a guy that I really didn't get a chance to dig into too much before this. But if you get a chance, just check that out and make sure you know who's matching up with who. Oh, and P.S., Terrell Pryor is done.
one of the worst draft picks I've made. I have him in the 3rd round in a bunch of leagues, and he's horrible. The Seahawks side of the ball, obviously, Seahawks offense is really interesting right now, and mostly because they can't run the ball. Their running backs are all bad. Their offensive line does not run block well, but it has fed their passing game. Russell Wilson, 452 yards last week with 4 touchdowns against the Texans. Week before, he had 334 yards at the Giants. Just going crazy right now. My question for you is, can Washington score enough to make this enough of a shootout for Wilson to go off again?
They can. 7.5 point spread. I think that Seattle probably wins this game by probably about 10 or so, especially because this game is at home. And that's sort of part of the issue here with me deciding between Breeze and Wilson, and the fact that, do we think that Jameis can hang in the game and really make that a competitive game with New Orleans? I think there's a lot better chance of that happening than with Wilson. But I really do like Wilson. I do think this game will stay somewhat close, at least for the first, 2.5 quarters or so. Really, a lot of this to me depends on Cousins linemen. And if some of them are going to be coming back and healthy. So, that's what I think there. And also, I'm not afraid to go back to Doug Baldwin after he failed me last week. He's got one of the best matchups this week facing Kendall Fuller, which is really the only spot that you can beat these guys, the perimeter cornerbacks here in Breland, if he's playing. And, Josh Norman, I think, are tough spots. And so Wilson's a guy that I've targeted all season and in my preseason and my season-long leagues. I'm going to continue to ride him in DFS. This week, it's just a matter of me figuring out this game and the New Orleans game and figuring who I want more.
Yeah, and the Cousins point is a good point. You mentioned his lineman. You know, it's very important that make sure to check the news on Friday or Saturday. I think both of us jumped off Kirk Cousins as our main quarterback last week when, 4 of his linemen were injured. 2 of them, 2 of better linemen were out of the game, Trent Williams and Brandon Scherff. So make sure to check that news. Check our Twitter. Check that kind of stuff. We'll talk about plays that we like more and less as the week goes on. But the thing with Wilson I like right now is he just suddenly has a lot of weapons. You know, he obviously has Doug Baldwin, who we both love. Paul Richardson looks good. Tyler Lockett looks healthy again. And Jimmy Graham's finally playing well, too. So he's got 4 good weapons all of a sudden. And, this has become an exceptional pass offense really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, nobody could fall out of my good graces as fast as Thomas Rawls did, who I continually not as in that I would play him, but that in fantasy of any sort, but that I had some hope for him to go back to what I saw from him a couple years ago, now that he was healthy and everything. They ended up winning the game, but I didn't see a guy make any, more mistakes than one human possibly could do in a football game.
Yeah, he's bad. The guy that I like, you talked about earlier, is Doug Baldwin. I think the interesting thing with him is he might fly under the radar this week a little bit with the big games by Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett. Baldwin's the 4th highest priced receiver. He's the same price as Julio Jones this week, so he did not drop in price at all with the game where he didn't do a lot. He had 60-something yards last week. He only has 2 touchdowns all year. He kind of very much in the Michael Thomas vein, kind of feels like he's about to hit a big one for me.
Yeah, I already mentioned I like Doug Baldwin a lot. I'm going to be pairing Wilson with Baldwin. I'm going to pair Breeze with Thomas. Just a matter of which one is going to be my main lineup, but I'm going to have exposure to both. Definitely on board. I'm even going to try to fit a team with Baldwin with those combos and Julio and work around that.
Any Tyler Lockett love this week? 15 targets the last 2 weeks, turning into a pretty big play guy.
Yeah, I always love Lockett, and I think he works in – you know, in FanDuel where you can, you know, hit for those touchdowns. You don't necessarily need to rack up the PPR receptions, and he's cheap. So he's definitely in play.
What about Jimmy Graham? Any interest there?
I lukewarm on Jimmy.
Yeah, four touchdowns last 3 weeks, six targets per game the last 6 weeks, averaging six targets. I like how Wilson looks to him in the end zone. I'll probably have him in a few spots, but I like some other tight ends more. Moving on to the next game, huge over-under in this game. The Chiefs headed to Dallas. Fantastic game. It's a pick 'em. Over-under is 51.5, like a perfect game script for what we like to have in DFS. Close game, high-scoring game. Starting with the Chiefs side of the ball, I absolutely love Kareem Hunt this week. I'm going to have him on a lot of my teams. I've heard a lot of stuff that people maybe think Kareem Hunt's struggling a little bit, not playing as well. He struggled last week. He hasn't scored in 4 weeks. At 9,000, I'm hoping some people jump off. I love Kareem Hunt in this game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it sounds like you like him more than Gurley. Yeah, yes. You might be convincing me here a little bit here as well. I mean, there's so much to love in this game. And you know, I believe it's clearly the premier matchup of the week, even though we do have a couple other really good matchups. You're going to see a lot of activity DFS ownership-wise in this game. And then there's still the Zeke factor. I mean, there's still a chance he gets a stay in his injunction that he plays. So that's something else we'll have to keep an eye on this week. But yeah, I mean, it's a great all-around spot for a lot of pieces of this Kansas City offense. I think this game is an auto stack. Definitely want to build some GPP stacks for this one. And I do like Hunt coming, you know, bouncing back off, coming off a subpar game, his first game without getting 100 yards from scrimmage, in his career, essentially. To me, actually, my favorite guy, and curious what you think, I like Tyreek Hill. I've already envisioned one of his patented 70-yard touchdown runs on Sunday. If I'm stacking this game, I definitely want a little bit of Hill. I know Kelsey is the man. I know he's the clear focal point of this offense pass-wise. But I just think Hill has a really good matchup against this Dallas secondary, and I want exposure.
Yeah, I love Hill, too. Jamison Crowder had 123 yards on last week. Marquise Goodwin had 80 yards the week before. Devontae Adams, two touchdowns the week before that. They've been giving up some goodness to wide receivers. I think an Alex Smith, Tyreek Hill stack as a kind of a low percentage sneaky play could be interesting.
Yeah, and this is the one guy that we have yet to mention, obviously, because we haven't gotten to this game. I like Alex Smith a lot. He comes in, raw points, just sort of initial projections, top five for me this week, right up there with Breeze, Wilson, Watson. I like his matchup most, more than just about anybody that you can name this week. And you're going to see his ownership higher than normal. He's been an absolute beast. He's averaging over 20, FanDuel points per game. What's not to like? It's a great matchup, competitive game. Let's get some Alex Smith in this week.
What about Travis Kelce? Huge game last week against the Broncos. Seven catches, 133 yards and a touchdown. He's right up there at 7,000, a little bit less than Zach Ertz. You like Kelce or Ertz more this week?
I like Ertz just a little bit because I think other spots in that Philly offense are going to have some trouble defensively against Denver. And I just think they're way too many weapons. I think, Kelce does sort of fall off every few games or so. This might be one of those spots because it's a potential smash double spot for Hunt and Hill. I'm going to prefer exposure to Hunt and Hill over Kelce this week.
So on the Dallas side of the ball, I think Zeke Elliott's going to be done. I think he's going to not play this week, but obviously we'll know by Sunday. If he doesn't play, I love the Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant stack this week. With no Zeke to feed, I just think they're going to have to rely on that a lot more. They only threw the ball 22 times last week in an easy win, kind of a game script thing more than anything. Much better game script this week with a high-scoring game, close spread. The Chiefs have given up a lot of yards to quarterbacks lately. 417 yards and three touchdowns to Derek Carr in week 7, 261 and five touchdowns to Deshaun Watson in week 5. I think Dak gets a little squirrely this week. I think Dez scores twice. I love them as a stack.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get myself a bumper sticker for the weekend. So many stacks, so little time.
No doubt.
Just another good spot here if Zeke doesn't play. And the other thing is Marcus Peters, their one shutdown corner, honestly, the really only good piece of the secondary. He typically stays to his side. You can almost imagine that Garrett and company are going to scheme and do what they can to keep Dez Bryant away from him. And so just for that reason alone, I think it's a good spot. Worth noting, Cole Beasley is likely going to be out for this game. That means a little bit more of Terrence Williams, but he's probably the guy that's going to get most of that attention from Marcus Peters. And really, I wish Bryce Butler would get more involved, because I do think that he is their second most interesting receiver there. Yet the team continues to trot Terrence Williams out there over Bryce Butler. I think it's a mistake, but hey, I'm not a coach.
Yeah, and let's not forget, this is the this Chiefs secondary is the one that gave up 210 yards and 11 catches to your boy Amari Cooper.
That's right. Very good point.
So last game of the day, the Sunday hammer, is the Raiders headed to Miami. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Before you do, okay. I think it's important that we touch real quick on the situation if Zeke Elliott is out. Because I've read that Alfred Morris has been getting the first team snaps in practice. I think it's too early. Obviously we record this on Wednesday night to sort of come to any conclusions. But McFadden has been inactive in all these games that Zeke has been playing, but there have been whispers that McFadden would be the lead dog. Is this even a situation that you touch, especially if you want exposure to this game?
You know, I think if I did, I would have to read some news that someone's going to be the lead guy. Morris is 5,600. McFadden's also 5,600, so they price him at the same. I think it's probably an avoid for me. I think there's other cheap guys I like more. One of them will hit in this next game in Kenyon Drake with the Dolphins. I think I'm going to wait a week and watch. If Zeke's out, I think I'm going to see what happens. I think I'm going to play the Dak factor in that game if Zeke doesn't play more than anything else.
Yeah, smart, and I agree with you, because the game that we're going to transition to for the Sunday night game has a potential better option for a lot cheaper.
So the Raiders are fared by 3 on the road headed to Miami. We get the Dolphins in primetime yet again. Nice scheduling by the NFL there. Sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Over-under of 44. Derek Carr, 7,800 this week. Obviously, he's been strong the last couple weeks coming back from the injury. 313 yards and a touchdown at Buffalo in a tough game. 417 and 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs before that. The Miami pass D, not great, but they've been limiting total yards. Only one quarterback has over 270 yards for them in the season. I just think that there's more quarterbacks I like. Carr's 7,800. He's not really cheap. I just think I'm going to go elsewhere at quarterback this week.
That's the problem for me, is because I think Miami secondary is absolute trash, yet Carr is just too expensive this week. Just a little too expensive based on the other options that you can get to. The other thing, if you're talking about the receivers, I think most people have figured out, if you're going for a Raiders receiver in cash, you want to have that exposure, you always go Crabtree over Amari. You could play Amari in tournaments if you want, feel free, but Crabtree is the safer guy. And, this week specifically, they both have great matchups. They're both going to go up against Xavien Howard and Cordae Tankersley, both perimeter corners of this 28th ranked DVOA pass defense. I'm not completely afraid, even though I mentioned as soon as I started talking that I'm not into Carr. I'm sort of talking myself into possibly a stack with Carr, with perhaps two of Crabtree, Cooper and Cook.
Yeah, I'm not going to go Carr, but I think I'll have some receiver exposure in this game. I like a little bit of Amari in it, kind of a GPP field. And like you said, Crabtree in a cash game. Carr really relies on Crabtree in the red zone. He has over 80 yards in 4 of his 7 games, at least 6 targets in every game except that weird Washington game where they got blown off the field. No one's topped 100 yards on the Dolphins, though. No receivers got there so far this year, but a lot of those were kind of game script situations where teams didn't throw a ton and they were playing from ahead. But on the Miami side of the ball, they traded Jay Ajayi to the Eagles this week. Both Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams have been mentioned as possible replacements. I think Drake's the more interesting play. He's 4,500 this week. I think Damian Williams will stick in kind of his third down role. Drake had 6 carries last week. Damian Williams had 0. He's pretty good as a rookie. 5.4 yards per carry in 2016 on 33 carries. 4,500. I think there have been worse punts this year. I think he's kind of interesting this week.
Yeah, and the thing is, unfortunately, in season-long, most people will not hear this podcast until after their season-long waivers have run. But I think most people know that you're going to want a bid higher on Kenyon Drake this week. Damian Williams is serviceable, but he is more probably better suited for your full PPR sites, I guess you would say. We're still not sure how they're going to disperse the carries earlier on this week. As we're talking midweek here, but worth noting, both are minimum salary. It could very well be that maybe Williams is the better play this week and Drake is better long term. But I would much rather guess on this situation for 4,500 than I would on McFadden and Morris.
Yeah, I feel the same way as you. I'm definitely going to have some Kenyon Drake this week. What about the Dolphins receivers? Do you like Landry or Parker this week?
I think it's a great matchup for the Dolphins pass offense as well. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I just saw that the latest DVOA report that the Raiders rank dead last against the pass now. I did read something about Landry being potentially in jeopardy of missing the game. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor. I only play one on podcasts, but, I always like any excuse to potentially play Devontae Parker in a GPP. Still one of my favorite guys, even though he's a super diva, good spot against, all these, even Kenny Stills. These are all good spots against the Raiders secondary. I think I just want to see how the health report plays out this week and see exactly who's playing.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, Landry's targets are so insane. He's had double-digit targets the last 4 weeks, 47 last four games. But with Parker back, he probably eased back on those targets a little bit. Cutler was really feeding Devontae Parker in preseason. If I see him healthy on Thursday and Friday, fully ready to go, I might slot a little bit of a Devontae Parker in there for a little bit of a little Sunday hammer action with the wide receiver.
All right, we are on to the recap. Quarterback. Yeah. Please, Scotty, tell me your favorite overall play and your favorite mid-range play.
My two favorite overall plays I have two this week are Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. Drew Brees comes right behind there. Those are the three guys I'm going to be playing in most of my lineups. A little bit cheaper down the road. I like Alex Smith this week in that game. But there's not a lot of cheap guys that I like this week. How about you?
Russell Wilson, still number one for me, just by a smidge over Drew Brees. Those are my top overall plays. Top rim mid-range guy on the same page with you with Alex Smith, and also considering Mr. Derek Carr in the night game.
Any fades you have this week? Mine's probably Matt Ryan. I'm just not trusting him. The last four games have just been too low for me. I want to see a little bit more.
Just simply for the price, Deshaun Watson will not make one of my three main lineups. I play usually heavy on three lineups and then sprinkle in the rest through lower dollar GPPs. That's probably where I'll have some Watson exposure. So a fade for me for the most part. Who's your fade? And then tell me your sneaky low percentage play before I tell you mine.
I really don't have one this week. If I was really going to get sneaky, I think the way I'd go is actually Jameis Winston and hope that game turns into a shootout.
Okay. My sneaky low percentage play, Drew Stanton.
I'm just
gonna throw it out there. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But don't play him on your main lineups. If you're building a lot of lineups, I'd probably get some Stanton in there myself.
So what about the running back position? My top overall play easily this week is Kareem Hunt. I love him this week.
Yeah, my favorite top overall play, Adrian Peterson. My top mid range play, Lamar Miller.
My mid-range guys that I like, I like Chris Thompson, and then I'm back and forth, but I think with Kelvin Benjamin gone, Christian McCaffrey might get enough targets, especially in a full PPR site to play at 6,100. I don't love him this week, but in the mid-range, I like Chris Thompson more, but I might play him in a couple spots.
All right, my favorite top cheap play, Damien Williams, and my potential fade, again, I seem to be doing this every week and losing because of it, Leonard Fournette.
My top cheap play is Kenyon Drake. So we've got the Minnesota or the Miami situation pretty covered there. My fade this week is Devontae Freeman. I don't like what I've seen from him in terms of volume lately. Just not getting a lot of carries. I think he has like 31 carries or something the last 3 weeks. I don't like the way they're using him right now. I'm going to stay away for right now.
Any sneaky low percentage guys? I've got Derrick Henry if DeMarco Murray's out.
Yeah, I think he'll not be low percentage if that happens, probably. But mine is Carlos Hyde. I think this might be a kind of a quiet game that he could get some. He gets a lot of volume if the Niners can keep it close. I think they may lean on him a little bit. C.J. Beathard's looked bad. They may want to go with a little running action this week. What about receiver? I have three top overall plays I really love. They are Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, and Dez Bryant. I'm going to have a lot of them in a lot of spots.
For me, it's Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and Michael Thomas. Those are my favorite overall plays.
What about in the mid-range? Who do you like there?
I've got Tyreek Hill, and I guess you maybe consider him a top overall, but Dez Bryant, just because he's not super highly priced there, and so I've got him listed as a mid-range guy.
Yeah, that's kind of cheating.
Okay, fair enough. top cheap play, Marquise Goodwin, John Brown for me.
Mine's Tyler Lockett under 6,000. And my mid-range plays, since we moved over those, I like Amari Cooper a little bit in a GPP. I like Demaryius Thomas a little bit. And I like Mohamed Sanu as the coverage shades towards Hulu. I think Sanu has a nice game.
My fade is DeAndre Hopkins and my sneaky low percentage guys, Sammy Watkins and Brandon Coleman.
Interesting. I have Sammy Watkins and Devontae Parker as my sneaky low percentage guys. I'm a full fade on Devin Funchess this week.
All right. Tight ends. Top overall play for me, Evan Ingram. Top mid-range guy, Jared Cook.
Mine's Zach Ertz is a top overall play. Love him in that matchup. I think the Broncos, to use your favorite word, are going to funnel the ball in the middle of the field. We'll get a lot of Zach Ertz over the middle. My top mid-range guys, I hate to say it, but I like Jack Doyle with the volume, and then I'm with you on Jared Cook also. I don't really have any fades in the tight end realm, do you?
No, not a fade, but I'm probably going to be less on the field, less than the field on Jack Doyle. Sneaky low percentage guy going back to the well for that Iowa connection for one last shot. George Kittle, baby.
Yeah, I don't really have anybody I love as a sneaky low percentage play. I think Tyler Kroft is interesting just because I think Andy Dalton's got to get rid of the ball quick underneath to Tyler Kroft. Jacksonville's going to be all over him. I like Tyler Kroft a little bit, but I'm mostly sticking in the top overall in the mid-range there. What about defense for you?
Jacksonville, my top overall play. I'd just rather pay the extra 100 for them at home. About yourself?
Yeah, Philly and Jacksonville for me. I'm going to pay up for most of those guys, kind of like you. I think I'm going to fade Arizona, though. I just don't like how that defense plays. I love they get to face the 49ers, but the defense is struggling. I hate to take a struggling defense, even in a great matchup, when I can go with someone like Philly or Jacksonville.
Yeah, as far as fade, I mean, really, it's Houston, if I'm going to fade anyone here this week. And then just a sneaky low percentage play I'm throwing out there as a sort of a hedge against any Ryan Julio teams I have will be Carolina at home.
Yeah, my sneaky low percentage play, I think, is the Rams. I don't think they'll be high percentage on the road. But as always, I like Eli Manning to make a mistake when I need one.
Fair enough. I think that just about covers it. Kicker wise, I'll probably play a little bit of Mike Nugent for cheap. And like if I'm paying up, probably the kickers with Houston, New Orleans, and Philadelphia in Fairbairn, Lutz, and Elliott.
Yeah, I like Lutz and Elliott too. I like Ryan Succop also in that game too. I think that they
every week.
They'll move the ball a little bit, but not score a lot of touchdowns. I like that. On the cheaper side, I like Patrick Murray for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a little bit of Josh Lambeau too.
Very nice. And just before we go on to watch this game. Just wanted to mention real quick that there is a $5 double up that we've been running for now for 3 weeks over on FanBall, one of the newest DFS sites. And I'm on there every week with fellow RotoWire guys, John Halpin, host of the NFL podcast, and our social media director, Tim Haney.
Nice.
And so, jump on in with us, $5 on FanBall. I think about 200 entries total, half of them get paid. For the record, I've been top 10 in the last 2 weeks, and so I'm down for a really bad week, so it's a good week to come in and take my money.
I see John Halpin tweet about how good you are at DFS almost every week.
Last week, I came in fifth. I looked up. Halpin was in fourth.
So there you go. He got some revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the RotoWire DFS podcast, NFL style, preview for Week 9. We really appreciate you listening. Hopefully you enjoy the podcast. Again, hit us up on Twitter. Ask us questions there as the week goes on. We're happy to answer stuff. We'll probably both post some thoughts, any updates on changes to guys we like, that sort of thing. So make sure to follow us there. Other than that, please rate and review the podcast. We would greatly appreciate that. Anyway, other than that, hope everybody has a fantastic Week 9. Vlad, I hope the Dodgers win for you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, man. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later.